just want to be very brief, and I will be very brief tonight. Take your Bible, Psalm 100. Psalm 100 tonight in your Bible. Find that place, if you will. When we are dismissed in just a few moments, we're just going to take the one table here and just slide it over. We won't need to disconnect the chairs or anything. We're just going to bring in one 8-foot table. I think that should house all of the desserts we have. And the coffee is back there. We'll bring up the cups. The cups are back there, but the creamers and milks. And there's creamer and milk. There is a spoons and all that, utensils, everything to be brought up. We'll put it on the one table. And then we'll just dive in, spend some time eating and fellowship, thanking God for his good things. Bible says he gives us all things to enjoy. And aren't you glad that God, just think about God's creation for 1 minute. God made all these things. And God put it in the mind of man to take a pumpkin, cook it down, then throw some sugar in there, throw some other things in there, and whatever it is, and make a pie. I never would have thought of that. I never would have thought, you know, maybe I'll take some flour, throw an egg in there, throw some sugar in there, put some milk in there, and get some cocoa and throw that. Who thinks of that? God made all the ingredients and put it in the heart of man. Here's what you can do with my creation. Praise God. Amen. And a million other things that are out there that we do enjoy, that it's all part of God's creation, and it just never stops. It just continues to produce. For 6,000 years, it just continues to give and give and give. And don't be fearful. It's not going to run out next week. We're not going to die next week, okay? Because the planet just doesn't do it anymore. As Brother Horry mentioned, we may pass away from something, but we're not, you know, don't believe the doom and gloom people out there. They're all over the internet. They're in politics. They're on the news media. Just, you know, it's all, you know, we're not going to drown. We don't have to head for higher ground. It's not going to happen, okay? Just serve God. Be happy. Be joyful. God's in control. And just remember that. And so if you use hairspray, God love you. You're not destroying the planet because you use hairspray. Psalm 100, very simple psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 100 is the last in a series of psalms that emphasize the Lord as king. Psalms 93 through 100 emphasize that thought to us, that God is the king. Now, as Americans, we don't have a king. We broke away from that. We decided to have presidents. We are a democratic republic. We elect our leaders to make decisions for us. We don't have kings. We have one king, though, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the one king we will bow to. As Americans, we shouldn't bow to anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. And it describes God's people going into his house to worship him, and it spells out what their attitude should be as they go, and it calls out to all the people of the earth, urging them to recognize that the Lord is God, and it is inviting them to receive him. So in this psalm, we see that when we go to church, now in this case, they're going to temple. They're going down to where in Jerusalem, to the where the temple is, but since we no longer have a temple except our bodies, when we go to the place where God has given to us, the local church, we should go with an attitude of joyfulness because we get to go to church. Amen. We don't have to go to church. We get to go to church, and we get to do it freely and openly without fear or worry that we can walk in these buildings and know we have the rights and the freedoms to sit here and to carry our Bibles publicly down the street. God has been very good to us in that sense. But in a very practical sense, this psalm teaches us the actual purpose of the church, to joyfully express praise and thanksgiving to God and to present ourselves for God's service and to urge all people to come into a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, again, We can go on for another half hour here, really, here with this psalm. It's a powerful psalm. There's 1,000 things in here. You wouldn't think that 5 little verses would have so much in it. But my friend, we could be here for the next month of Sundays talking about this psalm. He says, again, let me give it to you very quickly. I'm going to shoot an outline out at you. And so I'm going to give you the skeleton. It's up to you to put some meat on the bones. All right, so think about these thoughts. And I always like to write in my Bible. Don't be afraid to write in your Bible. You're not breaking any laws. God's not getting mad if you write in it. In fact, I find out when I write in my Bible, it reminds me a year later about a truth that I forgot because my brain doesn't remember much. I need to write things down. I need calendars to mark things down. So writing in my Bible and underlining reminds me of a truth that I learned previously. We see here, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, the acknowledging of the Lord, or the word Yahweh, or Jehovah. We are to praise Him and Him alone. Psalm 1 begins with a summon to all the lands to make a joyful noise, to shout loudly and exuberantly to the Lord. Now, that's something we don't do. We're dignified Baptist around here, but nothing wrong with a good shout. Where's Caleb tonight? Caleb's not here to give us a good shout. Amen. Caleb keeps the place going on Sunday mornings sometimes. Sometimes he gets a little wild. I hope he's watching tonight. But we are to be a joyful people. We should have some joy in our salvation and to be praising the Lord. So here he says, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so the word Lord there in your Bible is all capitalized. It is the word Jehovah. And we are to acknowledge God and be joyful. He says in verse number 2 that, a vital part of worship, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The New Testament instructs us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices unto him. And worship leads to service. And true service is worship. And worship, my friend, swings on the hinges of obedience. You can't be worshiping God if you're not obedient to God. People say all the time, I'm worshiping God. Well, no, you're not, because you're not living according to what God is telling you to live. Now, granted, we all make mistakes. Granted, we all mess up. But I'm talking about a defiant lifestyle that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. So we are to come before the Lord with gladness. When we pray, when we enter that season of prayer where we meet with God, you know, you can actually sing to God. You know, a man every now and then should sing a love song to his wife. I realize we, you know, as Christians, we sometimes selective on that. You know, I can't sing Jesus Loves Me to my wife. That really doesn't, you know, do nothing for her. Amen. I need a little something more romantic. Something a little, and amen, she's humbled back there right now. She's afraid I'm going to start singing something right now. But I remember I told you a story before when I was at college. And she was at the third floor window. She opened the window. She was waving down to me. And I was standing there in the campus. There's dozens of college students around us. And she's up there and she's waving to me and yelling out. I forget what I said to her, what she said. But I have I told you lately that I love you? And she slammed the window and walked away. I don't know what that's all about. And so, but you know, you ought to sing a little something to your wife. Maybe it's my voice. I mean, I'm just not a good singer. But every now and then, you know, nothing wrong. Well, we sing to the Lord. And we should sing sometimes. And I've sung to the Lord some songs when my heart's been heavy. And when my heart's been joyful, I've sang in prayer to Almighty God. And so we should come before the Lord with gladness. Again, we can come before Him with sorrow. We can come before Him with heartaches. We can come before Him in every condition. But we are also to come before Him with gladness and with singing. Have a glad heart and ask God to give you a glad heart. You know, you watch the news, you'll get a gloomy heart. You follow New York sports, you'll get a gloomy heart. I mean, you just be depressed all the time. It's just how it is around here. And you follow the politics around here, you'll get depressed. So, you know, you need to stay close to God and have some happy thoughts, because God's in control. They say, man, the world's falling apart. No, it's falling into place. It's just as God said it's going to be. And we ought to be excited. Hey, we're living in a day and time where we're seeing Bible come alive. You know, we're seeing things happen. So we can serve God right now and do something in this point in time. Don't wish for the 70s and the 60s or the 50s or the 1880s. Listen, that's gone. We got now. This is an exciting time to serve God. I mean, the Lord's coming soon. Amen. He's going to burst through those eastern skies soon. So be happy and excited about it and serve the Lord. We need to, verse 3 says, receive the Lord. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Again, a thousand things in here. First of all, he's our creator. We are his. We are his. We belong to God. And God belongs to us. What a thought. We are the sheep of his pasture. So we are his. He's the creator. And always remember, God's the creator. Don't believe this evolution nonsense. Don't believe all that millions and billions of years. No, God made us, my friend. In 6 days, in a 24-hour time periods, God created all things, and God made us on the sixth day, or at least our grandfather, he made on the sixth day. Amen? Our grandparents, Adam and Eve, were made on the sixth day, the pinnacle of God's creation. We are created by Almighty God. We are of great value to Almighty God. He is our shepherd. As a shepherd, he guides us. He cares for us as a sheep. And again, so the psalmist is trying to encourage us here that a shepherd cares for the sheep. You don't get mean shepherds. An actual shepherd is a caring man. A hireling is a bad person, but a shepherd is a good person. And he says in verse number 4 and 5, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So we are to enter into the Lord's presence, he says here, with a thankful heart. And the psalmist addressed the people ascending Mount Zion to worship the Lord at the temple, the place where his presence resided in a special way. And as they entered through the gates into the courts of the courtyard of the temple, they were to offer their thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. So the message is clear that God wants us to come into his presence with a thankful heart. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he taught us to pray, he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a praise. That's a acknowledgement of who God is. When we come before God, we're to acknowledge who he is. And imagine, we get to go before him. Several years ago, I was in Washington, D.C. I was with somebody who had a lot of connections. And he's on the phone making phone calls. I said, what are you doing? He says, I may get us into the White House to visit the president. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, hold on. I'm trying to work it all out. We might go see the president. I said, I want you to know, I've always been your friend. And I said, you know, you're going to go with me. If we go, we're all going. Well, it didn't work out. The president was busy. We didn't go. Listen, I don't care who the president is. I still want to see a president. Amen. I haven't met one yet. The closest I've ever been to a U.S. president was in Jersey City I guess it was the 4th of July, 1986. I was in Jersey City by the Statue of Liberty in Liberty State Park, and President Reagan was just about half a mile away on board a ship out there, and he hit the button. It shot a laser beam at the Statue of Liberty. They just finished years of repairing her, and she lit up, and there was massive fireworks and demonstrations, and it was an exciting time to be there and see that and know the president. Well, the president of the United States is just a half a mile away. Now, I've been in Washington, D.C. I've stood outside the White House, and I've looked at the Secret Service agent. I said, is the president home? And he kind of looked at me with one eye. He goes, yeah. I said, cool. I said, the president, and that was years ago. I think that was George Bush, one of the Bushes. I forget which one it was. But I said, wow, the president's home. He's probably sitting in his chair relaxing. Who knows what he's doing? But I want to meet a president one day. But my friend, I'm more than that. I get to meet God. I get into the presence of Almighty God. That beats any president. Listen, you put all, how many we got, 46 so far? You put all 46 of them together in one room. I'd rather take one God over 46 presidents, amen? That's a wonderful thing. So we enter because God is worthy of our praise, and because also in verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Why should we? Because God is good. You know, there's not a day when God's not good. There's days when you're not good. There's days when I'm not good. We just put a veneer on. How you doing? We're doing good. You know, but inside we're like, hey, you know, we want to find a closet, crawl into it, and just forget the world for a day or something. We're in a bad mood or we don't feel good. God's always good. God is always good to us, and Satan's always bad. You always count on that. So every good thing in our lives that we have, where'd it come from? It came from God. Every good thing you have, God gave that to you. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Now listen, I'm a traditional Thanksgiving guy. That's what I like. Now you may be one of those who doesn't like Thanksgiving food, and you may do what you want. But listen, it's America. You can do whatever you want and eat whatever you want. And understand, it all came from God. Again, we have Italians in the church. Some Italians, whoever thought of that, let's take this pasta, we'll make this pasta, but let's lay it down. Hey, let's take some ricotta cheese and put some ricotta cheese in there. How about we take some tomatoes and we'll do this and we'll lay that on there. Hey, how about some more noodles on top? Who thought of that? Amen? I'm glad they did. No, I'm not eating it on Thanksgiving, but I'm glad it's there. God made that, amen? Now, depending where you go, let's stick with the other crowd in here. Let's stick with the Spanish crowd, amen? I don't know who invented a taco, but who thought of that combination? God did, amen? And I said, here, I'm going to let you help. I'm going to give you Taco Tuesday, amen? Amen? So we've got Tuesday's Taco Tuesday, Wednesday's Prince Spaghetti Day, and I guess Thursday must be Pierogi Day. I don't know what it is. But anyway, whatever the case is, my friend, God made it all. God's good. And no matter what happens, God is always good. When we get sick, God's good. When we hurt, God's still good. Because God's a good God. So we should praise the Lord for that. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now, bless this night. We love you, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen, folks. Listen, we're going to have a couple guys slide this table over.